so much for coming to our first Monday Night Torah with Rashi Yeshiva. It's so amazing to see you all. And thank you, Rabbi Leibowitz, for coming to speak to us. Rabbi Leibowitz is the director of Reitz, of the director of Smitha Reitz, and he's also the Rav of Beis HaKnesses of North Woodmere. And we have such a zechus tonight to be hearing Torah and learning from Rabbi Leibowitz.
Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much. First of all, it's always really, really wonderful to be here. It's great to be able to share Torah together as we approach the Yom Noraim. Now, one of the things that I like to do in Shiurim is to discuss a halachic shaila that someone asked me recently. And I understand that as we approach Yom Noraim and as we approach Rosh Hashanah, we don't only want to be thinking about halacha, although we should always be thinking about halacha also. We want to be thinking about inspiration. We want to be thinking about how to approach the Ribbono Shel Olam, what kinds of things we need to do in order to be properly prepared. So we're going to sort of bridge the two. A lot of times, specifically at this time of year, I get a lot of these kinds of shailas that I'm going to share with you right now. I got a text from a Talmud of mine that reads as follows. I'm just going to read you the text, and then we'll go about answering the question. Hi, Rebbe. My mom asked me to ask you this question, and it would be appreciated if you can please help. I'm in a difficult situation. Now I think he's talking in mom's voice. I'm in a difficult situation. My husband's friend, pretty sure mom's voice, my husband's friend, who knows my family, somehow saw a picture of my father from the 1960s and posted a mocking caption, and it was very not nice, very childish and very silly. I hope, first of all, that my father doesn't see it and become embarrassed. I'm certainly not going to tell him about it. This man and his family are friends of ours, and I'm pretty shocked someone could do something so mean-spirited. I know from the Mesilat Yesharim, we are supposed to know everything people even say about us comes from Hashem, and we shouldn't get angry at them. But I'm pretty angry, disturbed, and disappointed. If I see that person around the neighborhood, I don't want to really speak to them anymore because they really hurt me and my family. I also think that this reveals that they're not a very good influence and are not positive people to be around. Am I supposed to pretend and refocus and not care and still be kind to them if I see them? Or is it okay to avoid them and be true to my feelings of dislike because they publicly mocked my father? So that was the shaila, halachic shaila, going into Yom Noraim. Now I'll tell you that around Chodesh Elul, these shailas, the frequency of these kinds of questions go way, way up. People start thinking about their relationships. They start thinking about if there's anyone that they wronged, if there's anyone that they have ill feelings toward. And that's a very good intuition. It's a very good way of thinking before going into Yom Noraim, that we need to think about not only our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, we need to think about our relationship with other Jews. And this is obviously a woman who's very, very sincere. And if it happens to be, you obviously don't know who I'm talking about. I hope no one knows who I'm talking about. But it happens to be that I don't really know the family that well, but I happen to know that her father is a very, very prominent person. He's someone who is very, very well known, and probably if I said his name, half of you would know the name. He is a very, very prominent person. So the busha, the embarrassment of someone finding an old, embarrassing picture of him, posting it online with a caption is magnified, considering how public a figure he is and how respected a figure he is. So I certainly understand where the woman is coming from. So that's the shaila. What is she supposed to do about it? So the intuition that most people have is that if you're really upset at someone, you're really angry at somebody, a real tzaddik or a real tzaddikas would hide that and would be nice to them anyway. That I'm going to go and I'm going to be nice to them anyway, and when I'm nice to them anyway, that shows my righteousness, that shows how wonderful and special I am, that that even though they did something to me, I'm not going to let it be known that I'm upset at them and that I'm angry at them and that I think they're a terrible person. It happens to be that the Hashkafas HaTorah seems to not exactly be that way. But let's take it slowly. Let's first discuss the idea of responding to insults. When someone insults you, what exactly should our response be? Then we'll get into, well, how bad is what this person did? Meaning the posting a caption online, what averos did that person violate? And then we'll discuss, okay, so now that someone did something terrible to you, how are you supposed to act? And then I'll let you know how I answered the question. And it happens to be just yesterday I ran into this woman who I had never met before, but I was speaking somewhere and she wanted to find me to let me know, and she gave me the PS on the story and what happened in the end. So that you rarely get with the Shaila. You rarely get the call back afterwards where someone says, I just had that today. I just had a Shaila. Someone called me. This is a totally separate thing. It just came to my mind. Someone called me a few days ago and told me that, I'm going to have to leave out a lot of details over here, but he told me that he had a very, very important business meeting where the future of his career rides on it, where the meeting is going to be on Shabbos. I said, well, you can't go to Shabbos to a business meeting. He said, no, I really don't have to do anything. It's all the work is done in advance. All the papers are signed in advance. I have to sit in a room with 20 other people, and these are very chashuva people, chairman of, you know, Fortune 500 companies and things like that, that are a board of, you know, people that serve as on a board of a company or something, and I have to sit in the room, and they're going to go through a checklist of questions. I know what all the questions are in advance, and everyone in the room just has to say yes. Do we all agree, blah, 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 blah? Yes. Do we all agree, blah, blah? So all I have to do is I have to walk into a room, I have to sit down, and I have to say yes 20 times, and then I leave. That's all I need to do. And then I'm done. What's so usher about that on Shabbos? That was his question. So what do you think? All those who would say, go to the business meeting on Shabbos. All those who say no? Okay, so some no's, some maybe, some... Okay, so no yeses. No one wanted to say. So what's so bad about doing that on Shabbos? So my gut reaction, you can't do that. I mean, this is... You can't be attending business meetings on Shabbos. You can't be attending, you know, transactions on Shabbos. But I don't want this person to blame me for the end of his career. So I said, you know, I think this is a question that needs to go to a very big posek. And I gave him the phone number of a very big posek. I'm not going to mention the posek's name, but a very, very big posek. Not one of our Rashi Yeshiva, but a big posek from a different community. The fellow called up this big posek, and the posek said, all you have to do is sit there and say yes 20 times, get a hotel room right near where the meeting is going to be, order kosher food, go to shul on Shabbos, and you walk into the meeting, you'll say yes 20 times, albeit that's fine. You're allowed to do it. That's what the posik told him. So the guy called me back, and he said, this is just like a beautiful PS to the story. He called me back, and he said, I spoke to the posik, and he told me it's okay. I was like, shocked that the posik said it was okay. But okay, he was a very big posik. He said it was okay. And the guy said, but you know what? I'm not going to do it. I said, you called this big rabbi, you asked him the shayla. He said, not going to do it. He said, I grew up on stories of my grandfather losing his job every Monday because he didn't show up on Shabbos. And now his grandson is going to go and show up to a business meeting on Shabbos because otherwise he's not going to get the promotion that he wants. What, so he can drive a nicer car, so he can do an extension on his head? I can't do it. And then he just called me again. Actually, I was on my way here. That's why it's fresh in my mind. And he said that he spoke to someone else that's senior in the in his firm, and they came up with another etza. They came up with some way he's not going to have to lose a promotion. He's not going to have to work himself. There's always another etza. There's always some way to do it. So it's rare that you actually get a PS to a shayla where someone calls back afterwards. But here we have one in this story as well, because I met the woman yesterday, and she told me what happened at the end of the day. So let's start with responding to insults. Someone insults you. What's the proper response? So the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos Daf Peches and Beis, Hane'alavim ve'inam olvim, shomim charpasim ve'inam meshivim. If you hear someone that humiliates you and you don't respond to that humiliation, also v'yavim smechem b'yisurim, you do things where you take joy in the fact in your suffering to realize that your suffering is a kapara. Aleihem makas v'omer v'av of k'tzeis Hashem shbuk v'raso. We have very, very nice things to say about such people. So the Gemara highlights specifically when someone embarrasses you and you don't embarrass them back. You don't just go after them because they did it to you. The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Petas, says similarly, someone who holds themselves back at a time of quarreling, at a time of fighting, at a time of arguing, and doesn't get into the fray, doesn't get into the mix, even though it's sort of inviting them, you know, the situation invites them. No, they hold themselves back. And the Gemara says, that the whole world stands because of bulima, that people who avoid getting involved in such things. In fact, in the Sefer Tomer Devora, Rav Moshe Cordovero, the Rebbe of the Arizal, writes as follows, something remarkable that I've heard Morenu Hagon Rav Willig Shlita say a few times, and that is, the Tomer Devora writes, Yachshov alavonosov tamid, v'yirtze betar v'tochachos yisurim. A person should think about what we've done wrong in our lives, always strive for greater purity, always look for that which can teach us lessons and give us musar. V'yomar, mahim ha'yisurim, hayoser tovim shaba'olim shleyat udunim yavod shem. And you know what? What are the greatest yisurim a person can possibly suffer? What are the greatest suffering a person can have? So he says, ein chaviv bekula me'elu sheicharfuhu v'yivazuhu v'yigadfuhu. Sharei lo yimnu umimenu kocho va'anu b'cholaim. Lo yimnu menu achlosom busho. Lo yimnu menu chayiv v'chayiv banu b'misa. Says the best yisurim a person could suffer is if someone humiliates you, someone embarrasses you, because it doesn't cost you money, it doesn't cost your health, it doesn't cost chayiv olam haba, it doesn't cost your children, it doesn't. It's just suffering an indignity. That is the greatest yisurim to have. That's where you can get your kapara. When one suffers embarrassment and doesn't respond to the embarrassment and just takes it. In fact, what I heard Marena Rav Willig Shlita say on several occasions is that when someone humiliates him, because he's a public figure, it happens sometimes, when someone humiliates him, he says, I feel like dancing. He said, sometimes I actually dance. He said, one time, I was on the phone, and someone called me up to yell at me and to say terrible things to me, and I was on the phone, and I was dancing. And he said, one of my children walked into the room and said, why are you dancing? You know, he's pointing to the phone. This is reason to dance, because this is what's going to be my kapara. Now, the idea that a person shouldn't respond in kind is one thing. That doesn't necessarily mean that we should have to bottle it all up inside. We'll get to that in a moment. What about this idea that the woman herself mentioned in the text? She said, I know from Mesilas Yesharim, when I read this Shaila to one of my children, so this particular child of mine said, it's either a girl who's still in seminary or it's a balas tshuva, right? I mean, to be so tmimistic, to say, you know, I know from Mesilas Yesharim that this is my avoda, and that this is the way I have to, so he was right, the second one, it's a balas tshuva, right? That to be so tmimistic. So, is that true that when someone says something bad to you, you shouldn't get angry at them and you should think it's from Hashem? So it happens to be that is true. The Sefer HaChinuch writes on the Isra of Lo Sikom, that a person shouldn't hold a grudge and take revenge. The Sefer HaChinuch gives on every mitzvah, Mishar Shea Mitzvah. He always gives the reasons, the background, the basis for the mitzvah in Tamei Mitzvah. The reasons that we observe the mitzvah, obviously it's not the reason, but a reason that we observe the mitzvah. We never know the reason for a mitzvah. So he says, Mishar Shea Mitzvah, Sheyeda Ha'adam, that a person has to know, V'yitin Elibo, person has to realize and internalize, Ki Kol Asher Yekrehu, Mitov Adra, anything that happens to you, good or bad, husiba shetavo alav me'eis Hashem Baruch Hu, that comes from Hashem. Umiyad ha'adam miyad ish achiv lo yia davar, nothing will happen from another person. Nothing that someone else does to you will have any impact on you. Bilti rotzon Hashem Baruch Hu, unless the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted it to have an impact on you. Al kain kishayid sa'areyu o yachiveyu adam. So if someone hurts you, if someone pains you, yeda benafsho kevonos of garmu. One has to internalize that it's my own averos that causes. It's not. It's so easy to look at the person who insulted me and say it's obviously that person. They have bechir chavshes. They're the one that chose to do this to me. Yeah, they chose to do that avera, but the impact it has on me is only because I deserve that impact. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu moves the pieces around to make sure that when that person had a yetzer hara to do something terrible, that I was the one standing in their way, and that it wasn't somebody else that was standing in their way. The Ribbono Shel Olam makes the Gemara in the, I don't know if anyone here is doing Daf Yomi, the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah recently in the Daf Yomi. Any Daf Yomi people? No? No Daf Yomi people? First time I spoke here, but there's no deaf young people. Okay, so we've got to work on that. So the Gemara said recently in Masechta Sukkah in Daf Yomi, the Gemara says that one of the Amoraim saw a skull floating on the river, and he said, you know, you skull that are floating on the river, you were a murderer. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that someone murdered you, but don't worry, whoever murdered you is going to get murdered himself. Meaning the Ribbono Shel Olam will see to it that whoever does something terrible is going to. I remember once I was talking to Moreinu Agon Rav Shechter Shlita, and we were talking about a particular Beis Din. I wanted to know if it was a reliable Beis Din or not, and he said, no. He said, stay away from that basin. So I said, why, you've had experiences? He said, yeah. He told me a story. He said there was a case that came before them. I'm not going to go into all the details, but the case was essentially that they missed an obvious piece of evidence that was presented to them, and they just didn't understand it. He said, they're nice people. They just don't understand, you know, how things work, and they didn't understand a piece of evidence, and they cost someone a lot of money unjustly. And he said, and then the person who won the case, wrongly won the case, suffered, his wife got sick, and he had to spend all his money on treatments, and the other one who lost the case ended up investing in a new business and made a lot more money that way. And he said, look how they were matriach the Ribbono Shel Olam. If they just would have gotten it right, then they wouldn't have had to be matriach the Ribbono Shel Olam like that. But the Ribbono Shel Olam had to make it right for them. And it's not nice to be matriach the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm like, who thinks like that? You know, that's like, but that's really the Hashkafa. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch is saying. That the Ribbono Shel Olam sees to it that everything works out the way it's supposed to work out. And if I'm in somebody's way when they're in a bad mood, it's because the Ribbono Shel Olam put me in their way when they're in a bad mood. So she is right when she says that I know I'm supposed to internalize that this isn't about them, it's really about me.
So, doesn't this contradict Tzaddik Rabba? Meaning, the concept that everything you get, like Hashem kind of made it in a way, like if someone harms you, it's because you really deserved it, but...
Why is it contradict? Tzaddik Rabba is a question, right? The Gemara says we don't understand why it is...
Right.
It means that we don't see why all of that is. Meaning we don't... The truth is, the simplest pshat in that Gemara, the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Brachos asked the question about Tzaddik V'Ra'lo. It is probably the most misquoted question. 99% of the time you hear the question, you hear it that way. That how could there be Tzaddik V'Ra'lo? That is not the question. In fact, it's already pointed out by Rishon, that it's an easy question to answer if that was the question. Tzaddik V'Ra'lo, I don't know, maybe every in Tzaddik Baruch Shel Yechta, everyone does some averos, so wouldn't it be to their benefit, to the Tzaddik's benefit, that they suffer in this world, so that in the next world they have a clear path? Rasha V'Tovlo, every Rasha does some mitzvahs, Afilu Posha Yisrael, Armelei Mitzvahs Karimon, everyone does some mitzvahs, so wouldn't it be to the detriment of the Rasha to get rewarded in this world, so there's a clear path to Gehenim in the next world? I can answer it easily. It's not the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, why is it that there's sometimes Tzaddik V'Ra'lo, sometimes Tzaddik V'Tovlo? Why is it that there's sometimes Rasha V'Ra'lo, sometimes Rasha V'Tovlo? What the Gemara is asking is not why there's Tzaddik V'Ra'lo, but why is there no consistency in the way it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world? Why is it that everything just seems so random in the way the Ribbono Shel Olam does something? But either way, meaning everyone does some avera, so we're going to suffer for something at some point. And a tzaddik knows how to internalize that, and through that internalizing will lead the person to tshuva. So I don't think it's a conflict with the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just, and sometimes just are things that we don't understand, that we're not going to be able to comprehend. Now, what avera did this person violate? This fellow who decided that it would be funny to take an old picture of somebody and put a caption to it, you know, I guess she never heard of the word meme? I don't know, but that, right? That's a meme, right? So, and posted online. So first of all, it's obviously Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara doesn't have to be with words. Lashon Hara is when I do something or project an image that causes other people to think less of somebody else. And certainly if you post an embarrassing picture of someone, so others will look at that person and think less of them. Especially this person that we're talking about is a very dignified person. He's someone who's very well respected. So I'm going to post post an embarrassing picture of the person and put a caption on it, and that's going to make other people think less of the person. Sometimes Chafetz Chaim writes, sometimes Lashon Hara, what you think you're saying, you think it's the greatest compliment in the world, but the person you're telling it to doesn't perceive it that way. That's also Lashon Hara, because even though I may think it's wonderful that I'm trying to think of an example, it's not going to get me in trouble, but whatever it is that I'm saying, I may think is the most wonderful thing. Let's say I'm talking to someone I'm not going to give examples. I think it's the most wonderful thing, but the person that I'm talking to doesn't think it's a wonderful thing. They think that that's a terrible thing. Well, then I shouldn't tell it to that person, because they're going to think less of the person because of what I said, even though I wish they would see things the way I saw them, but they don't. So if they're going to think less of a person, that's a violation of Lashon Hara. It's also a violation of Ana'as Devarim. Ana'as Devarim is sometimes an avera that's just as bad as Lashon Hara, and sometimes is violated even more frequently than Lashon Hara. No, Stavara means we say hurtful words about other people. The Torah says, Losanu Isha Samiso, that you're not allowed to harass or cheat a member of your nation. And the Gemara Mesachs Bamatzio, Daf Nun Ches, understands that it's not referring only to financially cheating them, like Na'as Mamon, or overcharging them, but to verbal abuse. So Na'as Stavara, saying not nice things, saying things that make people feel bad. The power of words is so great that we have the ability to say something nice to somebody. We have the ability to uplift a person, to take advantage of those opportunities. When you have the opportunity to uplift a person, and is such a wonderful thing to do. Sometimes you're quiet and you could have said something nice, and that's bad enough. But to take your words and make someone feel lower, make someone feel smaller, make someone feel bad, that's a terrible violation of Ana'as Devarim. In fact, the Gemara says it's worse than cheating them financially in four important ways. First of all, the Gemara says monetary crimes are done against a person's bottom line, against their bank account, but it's not done against the person. It doesn't strike at their core. Verbal abuse is at their very identity. Second of all, money gained through dishonest means can easily be returned. Words can never be taken back. You know what happens? You say something that nice about a person, and then you slowly make up, and you have a conversation, you get over it, and everything's good, right? Now you get along. And then next time, everything's good for a while, right? Next time you say something that's a little bit off about the person, and this isn't the first time you did it to me. Last time you did it also, right? It always comes back. It always comes back. There's no taking back those words. They're always back in the back of the person's mind for the rest of their lives. Shita Mekubetzes explains, even if the perpetrator apologizes, they've left an impact and they cannot be erased. When you say hurtful words to somebody, what it does to their self-confidence, even if you made up and you apologize, what it did to their self-image, that doesn't change. That can't be taken back. Third, the Gemara says, the Torah specifically warns V'yareisa melokecha in the context of Ana'as Devarim. But no such warning appears in the context of monetary wrongdoing. Whether you intend to cause somebody pain through your words is not always apparent. Sometimes it's with a little humble brag. Sometimes it's with just saying, "Oh, I've never had trouble with this subject. It's just come so easily to me, right in front of the person who's struggling terribly with it." You know, and no one knows what your intention is. Maybe you're just talking about the way you're experiencing life. Maybe you don't know. V'yareisa melokecha. The Ribbono Shalom knows what our intentions are. So a reminder to fear God is in order when speaking of verbal abuse. The Marsha explains that the Gemara considers a thief who commits this crime quietly and in secret to be worse than the thief who steals in broad daylight, because the one who steals in broad daylight fears nobody, while the person who steals secretly has a fear of man, but fails to acknowledge the Ribbono Shalom. So the Marsha argues, someone who overcharges another person has done an avera that other people can recognize. He disregarded something that everyone realizes is a basic social contract, that you're not allowed to steal from other people. But when you intend to speak in a hurtful way, where other people can't easily detect it, that's a disregard for the Ribbono Shel Olam, while only being concerned about your own reputation with other people. Because other people don't think I'm mean, because I said it in a way that that they don't know that I meant it in a mean way, but the Ribbono Shel Olam knows he meant it in a mean way. And finally, the Isser of causing another person emotional distress can be violated even without saying a single word. The term the Mishnah uses to describe it is Ona'as Devarim, which makes it sound like it's words. It's not what the Torah says. The Torah says Lo Sonu, do not harass. That implies any form of harassment. It's a click here, drag the image, put it into Twitter, Facebook, whatever. That's all it takes. You don't have to say a single word, and it's a violation of Ona'as Devarim. So, and many other things also. There are many, many things that this person violated. True. All of those things are true in terms of what this fellow had done. Now the question is, okay, I know that I'm internalizing, like the Sefer HaChinuch said, like the Mesillas Yesharim says, that if this happened to me, it is because the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted it to happen to me. And therefore, if my family is humiliated, it's me. We have to do our own cheshbon and nefesh. I understand that. But I also understand that this person who did this was violating a terrible avera, several terrible averas. How do I act toward this person? Let's get to the woman's actual shayla. How do we act toward the person? So there is an isra in the Torah. Torah says, "Lo sisnas achicha bilvavecha," that a person is not supposed to hate somebody else in their hearts, which is immediately followed by "Ocheich tochiach samisecha," that one has to give musar, one has to give rebuke to people who sin. The Rambam, in the sixth parak of Hilchos Deos, writes, "Kolasone echon me Yisrael belibo," if someone hates another person in their heart, over below sase, shem lo sisnas achicha bilvavecha. They violate a lo sase, they violate a lav. The Torah says lo sisnas achicha bilvavecha. Now, what does that mean? Bilvavecha, only in your heart. Does that mean that if I dislike somebody and I go up to them and I tell them, look them right in the eye and I say, I can't stand you? Right, so now I didn't violate the sisters of Chichabalvecha because I didn't bottle it up in my heart. I listened to my therapist, said, you know, just get it all out, you know, get to say what it is that you're feeling. And I did it. I had the courage. I stood up to the bully and I told him, you're mean, you're bad, and I don't like you. Right? I said it straight out. So now did I not violate the sisters of Chichabalvecha? So this is a major machlokas rishonim, actually. The Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch and the Sefer HaChinuch both assume that, yeah, it's only violated, the Isser is only violated if you bottle it up inside. The Gemara sounds this way. In Maseches HaRachin Daf Tazayin, the Gemara says, they're, you know, the whole Sefer Chafetz Chaim, all about Lashon Hara, the Chafetz Chaim pulled off an amazing trick. Not only did he write the Mishnah Berurah, which was, you know, an unbelievable work in Halacha, but that was based on other works. That was based on many, many Sifrei Halacha that were written in the order of Shulchan Aruch beforehand, and he compiled and edited, and, you know, an amazing thing. The Sefer Chafetz Chaim, I think Rav Rosenzweig Shlita points this out, the Sefer Chafetz Chaim was really a trick, because that is not a topic. There's no Maseches Lashon Hara. There was no Sefer previously written on the topic. There's no section in Shulchan Aruch to really look at to study the topic. And he just pulled from all over Kol HaTorah Kula, and he managed to put out two Svarim, all on top of Lashon Hara. So where do the sugis appear? There's a little bit at the end of Maseches Pesachim, and there's a few block in Maseches Erechin. So Maseches, it's really Arachin. In Maseches Arachin, it says as follows: Tan Rabbanu lo sisnas achicha b'vecha yachal lo yaken lo yisteren lo yikalkalenu tamalomar b'levavcha sinas shebeleva kozim dabi. You might think it means don't hit the person, don't slap the person across the face, don't curse the person, don't. No, it says bilvavecha, that don't hate the person in your heart. That's the isser, to hate in your heart. In fact, no less figures than the Shiftei Ka, the brothers of Yosef, are complimented for not violating the sisnas achicha b'vavecha. Now, generally, their attitude and their relationship with Yosef is not a source of compliments, right? The way the brothers treated Yosef is a source of great anguish for the Jewish people. Ad Yom Hazeh, we're still paying the price for that. That was not a good thing in Jewish history. But says Rashi on Chumash that mitoch genusan, from their lowest point, from their worst behavior, we see their greatest praise, that Vayisno Sov Leyochlu Dabru L'Shalom, the Torah says, Mitoch Genusam L'manu Shivcham, Rashi tells us. From their worst Avera, we see what they should be praised about. Shalo Dibru Achas Bepeva Achas Belev. At least they were consistent. At least they let Yosef know what they felt about him. They didn't pretend to love him. Says the Rambam, says Sefer HaChinuch, the Yisrav L'Sistas Achicha B'Vecha is only if you keep it bottled up inside. Once you tell it to the other person, you're not in violation of L'Sistas Achicha B'Vecha. You might be in violation of Havanas Tvarim, depending on how you say it to the other person, you might be in violation of via Haftal Re'echa Kamocha, you might be in violation of a lot of other things, but you're not in violation of that Avera. However, the Ramban, at least in one of his answers, and the Shiltas Rav Chai Gaon, disagree. They say, no, look, imagine you can't stand someone, right? You really dislike the person. Hopefully no one has those feelings toward anybody else. But imagine you have such a feeling towards somebody. And you go over to them and you say, I can't stand you. Or you act passive-aggressive, standoffish, whatever. You know, you give them the cues, you know, that if they're socially, if they get it, they realize. They realize that you used to say hi and stop and talk, and now you don't, and you look the other way. And, you know, you wait till they see you, and then you go the other way. They understand. They understand that you don't like them. You're very, very clear about how you behave. So now your sinner shabalev went away. Now you don't hate them in your heart anymore. No, you still hate them in your heart. So it's still a violation of the sisters of Chichabuvecha, says the Ramban, says the Shiltos. It doesn't mean you can't hate them exclusively in your heart. If you hate them in your heart and you also hate them out in the open, you're still hating them in your heart. So it's still an aver of the sisters of Chichabuvecha. Machlokas Rishonim. If you are open and honest about your feelings, your negative feelings towards somebody else, is it a violation of this Isser? Machlokas Rishonim. How do we paskin? Chavetz Chaim paskins like the Rambam. He says it's only a violation if you keep it bottled up. You're not supposed to keep it bottled up. Wow. That means, what are you supposed to do? One is supposed to approach the Sone, and that's why the Rishonim point out there's a juxtaposition in the Pasuk. That losis is chich b'vecha and hocheach tochiach. That you have to give them mussar in a way. Now, how do we do hocheach tochiach? It's very hard to do hocheach tochiach, especially with someone that you have negative feelings toward. Hocheach tochiach means that you're supposed to reprimand the person and get them to be better. It's very hard to do that in a way that the person is going to be mekabel it, in a way that a person is going to receive it. There are many great gedolim that thought that no one in our generation is tough enough to really handle tochacha, and therefore maybe the mitzvah of tochacha doesn't even fully apply in our generation. This past summer in Camp Keli, where I go every summer, we had something called, they initially called it Gedolim Day, but then none of the Gedolim wanted to come. So they called it Tznuk of the Torah, or something like that. So four great Talmidei Chacham came to camp all on the same day. Rav Reuven Feinstein, Rav David Cohn, Rav Mordechai Willig and Rav Moshe Weinberger all came to camp on the same day, which was like an amazing photo op. It was an amazing, like, they come into camp and you know the kids are lining the road and there's a young monument, Melech Tosef or whatever. And then the camp had a problem because, like, what do you do with gedolim like in a camp? Like, what, you have the 9-year-olds in their shorts that are waiting to go to the next activity and like, listen to a speech? Like, what do you do? So Baruch Hashem, we have something called Keli Masmidim, which are my guys that are learning all day. So we had four gedolim all to ourselves to do whatever we wanted with them after the first 2 minutes. So we had a question-answer session with Rav David Cohen Shlita, who's one of the great poskim in America today. And one of the boys... one of the boys who is an exceptional learner and Ben Torah and really an exceptional guy, to the point that like he's also brilliant. Like, we had a million guest speakers, and every guest speaker that came, like, he would ask a question, the guest speaker would be like, whoa, who's that? Like that, like really that kind of a fellow. And he asked Rav David Cohen, he said, does the mitzvah of hocheach tochiach still apply nowadays? Simple question. Rav David Cohen said to him, does a mitzvah still apply nowadays? It's a picorsus to say a mitzvah doesn't apply nowadays. So the other guys loved it. They're like the guy that like everyone is just like bowing down to and things like that. And Rav David Cohen comes and calls him an apikorus. That was like the bit for the rest of the summer. It was like an amazing lift for the other guys. But the question was not a bad question, meaning there are poskim that say that you're not allowed, that there's no way to do it nowadays. There's no way to reprimand somebody in a way that they're going to receive it. So, but if you're able to have that conversation in a soft and gentle way, that they're able to receive it, that's really what you're supposed to do. Now, why is it so bad to keep something bottled up inside? Why do you have to let the person know what your true feelings are about them? Chafetz Chaim explains very simply. It's a very simple svara. When you think that somebody is a good friend of yours, we tend to open ourselves up a little bit and to be a little more vulnerable around those that love us the most. Because I know that if my wife and my children and my parents, these are the people that love me, I know I can be more vulnerable around them because they're not going to exploit that vulnerability. They're not going to use that against me. But if I think that somebody really loves me. I think that someone is a good friend of mine. I think that someone likes me. And then I become vulnerable in front of them, and I'm open in front of them, and I share with them something I struggle with or some failure that I have. Next thing I know, it's the next meme that's going to be put up online because I didn't know. I left myself open. So that's why if you hate the other person, it's bad enough. It's even worse if they don't realize it, because then they're opening themselves up to be vulnerable in front of you. And therefore, what should you do? The Rambam is very clear. The Rambam writes, "Kishayechta ish leish, lo yistemenu v'yishtok." Don't be silent about it. Like it says by the Rishon, "V'lo diber Avshalom im Amnon lemirav atov," that Avshalom couldn't speak to Amnon because of what Amnon did to Tamar. He wouldn't speak to him. Kisone Avshalom es Amnon. He hated Amnon. But when you hate somebody, that's not the way to behave. Ella mitzvah alav lahodio v'lomar lo. You have to confront him and you have to say to him, "Lama asisa likach v'kach? Why did you do this to me? V'lama chatasali? Why did you sin toward me b'dvar ploni about this thing? Shenemar hocheach tocheach samisecha v'imchazer ubikesh menu limchal lo tzarech limchal." But be prepared, because there's a likelihood that if you say, "You know, I was really hurt by what you did to me," and the person says, "You know, I didn't even realize that hurt you. I beg your mechila," or, "I know that it hurt you, I'm sorry, I ask your mechila," be prepared, because you got to be mochel. You have to be mochel. That's the next step. That's where that conversation is supposed to end. But that conversation is supposed to happen, rather than keeping it bottled up inside. So based on that, I realize I'm gonna wrap it up. Based on that, I think, what I responded to was as follows. I'll read you my text back to her. I think that part of the prohibition of losisna sachicha b'vavecha is that you shouldn't let things fester. You should talk them out. If a person has done something hurtful to you or your family, the correct thing to do is to approach them calmly, to talk it out, and let them know that you were very hurt by what they did. If you feel that you won't be able to have this conversation calmly, which is also something a person has to self-assess, "Am I ready to talk in a calm way toward this person when I'm still so hurt by what they did?" If you don't, if you feel that you won't be able to have this conversation calmly, you should have somebody who can do it calmly have the conversation on your behalf. I said, if your mom will get too emotional talking about it, your dad may be the right person to talk to the person. I mean, somebody who's close enough to understand the hurt, but maybe won't react in such a way, because it's not, they may be able to keep a more level head. Hopefully, when you don't attack the person but express your pain, they will appreciate the magnitude of what they have done and will try to rectify the problem. That was my response. So yesterday, the woman found me, and she said she confronted him, and he apologized profusely, and he said he deeply regrets what he had done, and they're friends again. She said that it was like HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in her lap. She said because she got this response from me, and then she was learning a sefer. It's a very, very sincere religious woman. She was learning a sefer, and that sefer quoted the Lo Sisna Sechicha B'Vecha Mamish. Like it was a sefer she was learning anyway. She was mamish up to that page, recorded the same thing. And she's like, "Oh gosh, I mean, oh God, God is really talking to me." And then she was walking down the street like the next morning, and that guy was walking the other way. Like it's like Hashem was like, "Here, do it now," you know. And she did. And she stopped him on the street and she said, "I have to tell you, that meme that you put, it really hurt my family. It really hurt that you did that." And he apologized profusely. What's he going to say? He apologized. And it's so interesting, because if you look at the original question that she asked, she said, "I don't think this person's a positive person. I don't think they're a positive influence." Meaning, when someone hurt us, we naturally assume that that's who they are, that's what they are. And then after they had the opportunity to apologize, and we've had that conversation, and it's not easy to apologize. It takes a little strength and character to be able to do that. So now, what are your thoughts about that person now? Now you realize that this person, they did something stupid. They did something, we all do stupid things once in a while. This person did something stupid, but it doesn't mean that they're a stupid person. It doesn't mean that they're a bad person. They had the courage to apologize, and halavai, we should all follow the advice of what Chazal tell us, and of what the Rishonim tell us, and deal with all of our disputes in such a dignified manner, and in that way, we should all be zochet to have the same results. I wish everyone a chesiva v'chesina tova.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.